Reading from Bhajan Rahasyam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary and explanation of Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam, fourth verse, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim, Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye, Mama Janmani Janmani Shvare Bhavatad Bhakti Rahoitaki Tayi. Yesterday we described this line, Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare, that all I want life after life is to serve the Lord, Janmani Janmani. And we discussed how there's a progression of words, the different Nam Sankirtan that Lord Chaitanya is using in this series of verses, specifically in verse 4. In the first half of the verse where he's describing elimination, or those unfavorable qualities which are pratikul to pure bhakti or shuddha bhakti, or which are preventing us from attaining ruchi and nam, those unfavorable attachments like dhanam, najanam, nasundaram, kavitam. This sundaram kavitam, attachment to wealth and dharma and artha and kama, all these things, even moksha, they have to be eliminated. We have to give up our desire for those. And this whole area of concern, these material contaminations, they're all going on within this material world. And this material world is maintained by the Parameshvara, by the Super Soul, who is also called Jagadish. He is the Lord of the universe. So Lord Chaitanya is appealing to him, because at this stage, when one enters the stage of Ruchi, he basically says goodbye to the material world. Sometimes a boy, he joins ISKCON, and before he leaves his home, he says, Mom and Dad, goodbye. I'm moving into the temple. I made up my mind. I'm going to become a Hare Krishna. Of course, they don't take it very mildly. They maybe blow their tops, blow their stacks. But he says goodbye. So when we're ready to give up all these things, then we can say goodbye to the Paramatma and say goodbye to the Super Soul. Because when we get ruchi for nam, ruchi for Krishna's name, or taste for chanting Krishna's name, that comes along with taste for everything about Krishna. Taste for hearing about Krishna, taste for serving Krishna, taste for associating with devotees of the Lord, taste for living with devotees, and not say in the fullest expression, but at least some taste is there. You can say in the beginning form, because that taste gets deeper and deeper and thicker, because one of the symptoms of bhava or bhava bhakti is one has great taste for the things that he has small taste for in the stage of ruchi. For example, a devotee may not be on a level of bhava, but he's very much attached to or has a great taste or hankering to live in Lord's abode, Mathura Vasasthali, to live in the abode of the Lord, like Mathura. And this is one of the nine symptoms of bhava, that he wants to live there for service. At the level of bhava, one wants to live in the holy dham only to serve the Lord, because this facilitates his service, because the Lord is always there. But the level of ruchi, one may want, or even the level of nartanivrti, one can have some desire to live in the Lord's abode, but it may be mixed with the desire to be peaceful, or desire to live an easy life, or free from the obstacles, or in other words, he has some motivation. He's not living, his reason for living in a holy dham is not merely for the service of the Lord and the pleasure of the Lord. He's living there in the holy dham also because he wants a little bit of salvation or a little bit of relief from the high pressure zone of living in Moscow. He can't take it anymore. He wants to move to Vrindavan. So part of his motivation for moving to Vrindavan is to get relief. So it's contaminated, or you can say avritam, covered with personal desire. So this level of ruchi, when that ruchi comes, then one says, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. He says, Jagadish. Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavinam Va Jagadish. So he says, Jagadish, okay, goodbye Jagadish. You're in charge of the material world, and you're making arrangements for people to get dhanam and janam, followers and wealth and sense gratification. You're arranging all this from your driver's seat as a super soul of the universe, and from your driver's seat as the super soul of my body. But I'm not interested anymore in bodily concerns. I'm not interested anymore in the dealings and workings of this universe. I'm interested in a higher control. I want to come under the control of my Pranishvara. The Pranishvara is the Lord of my heart, not the Lord of my mind. And he's the Lord of my inner being, not the Lord of my material desires. So the Jagadish in this verse becomes Ishvara. And we're explaining that Ishvara represents the Pranishvara. Because Ishvara, you can also say the word Ishvara, says Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare. So first, with Mama Janmana Janmani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's eliminating, you want a desire for moksha or liberation? Don't worry about it. Birth after birth, it's okay to take another birth as long as we can serve Krishna. For example, if Krishna comes before a devotee and he says, listen, I want to take you back to Godhead. You go to the spiritual world, come back to Godhead. But you won't have any service there. But you can live. You can attain, I will give you Salokya Mukti. I will give you residence on my planet. You can live there. But you won't have any service to me. And then many devotees, especially if they're Vishnu Bhaktas, they'll say, fine, great. That's what I'm hankering for. I want to go there. I want Salokya Mukti. But for a Krishna Bhakta, for worship of Radha Krishna, he will say, no thanks. I don't want it. I don't want Salokya Mukti. I don't want to go back to Godhead if I be deprived of your service. Only this is my happiness. This is my birthright. This is my very intrinsic nature, is to serve you. So why are you denying me this opportunity? Don't try to cheat me in this way. Don't try to fool me in this way. I don't want to go back to Godhead. I want your service. That's all that I want. And that itself makes me happy, to know that you're happy. So I know you're only testing me in this way. But if the Lord says, no, I want to bring you back to Godhead, but you'll be serving me day and night. Okay, then we'll go. We don't mind. A devotee doesn't mind going back to Godhead as long as service is there. But without service, he doesn't want, he'll go anywhere as long as there's service. He'll go to hell as long as he can serve the Lord. They even have expressions. They say that, like the devil, he says, I would rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. Reign means to rule. I would rather be a ruler in hell, which means a place of suffering, but I would rather reign in hell than become a servant in heaven. But for the devotee, he says, I'll serve you anywhere. I'll serve you in hell or heaven, but give me service, but don't deny me service. So the point is that sometimes in our discussion over the last few days about devotee doesn't want to go back to Godhead, he just wants service, prem seva. This is our goal. Then someone says, well, wait a minute, you're shattering all my dreams. You're shattering all my hopes because I was banking on this. I only came to this movement, actually, when you get down to it, I only came to the Krishna consciousness movement for salvation, for emancipation. I want out, or I want upliftment, or improvement. I want to improve my condition. I want to move from a low-class neighborhood to a high-class neighborhood. I'm tired of living in the slums. I want a fancy house and by the sea and a fancy car. But then you say, well, wait a minute, this Lord Chaitanya is saying, what is this? This is a covering. Your pure love is covered. Why are you worried about that? You should just worry about how to serve me. And I'm ready to take birth after birth. So when we get this actual taste, you can understand by this verse, there's two ways it goes. When we get taste for Nam, for the holy name, then the symptoms of the one has taste for the holy name is he has no interest. He doesn't care about birth or rebirth. And he has all these qualities. He gives up taste for other things. But if we still have a taste, we have a taste for Dhanam and Janam and Sundaram, for ladies and gents, and wealth and opulence and followers and recognition and praise and prestige. If we have a taste for those things, that indicates that there's not much taste for Nam, practically none. And therefore we're under jurisdiction of Jagadish or Paramatma. But when we get a taste for Nam, then we become under the jurisdiction of our Ishtadev. And the Ishtadev for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is Radha Govinda. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying is that Jagadish moves out of our heart and Radha Govinda move into our heart and they become our Pranishvara. So he says, Janmani Janmani Ishvare. So first he says, Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavitam Va Jagadish. Jagadish out, Pranishvara in. So our Pranishvara, the Lord of our life, the Lord of our heart, Because pran means our heart. Jagadish is the lord of our karma. He's the lord of our mind. He's the lord of the trigunas. He's the lord of this body. This body is made of this world. And this body is functioning in this world as long as we identify with it and are attached to it. But when we identify with our heart, the heart region, the region of the heart is the soul region. That's where the soul is. We don't say the soul is here. We say the soul is here. So that region, that's the pran. And the Ishvara, your pran, can be none other than Krishna. So then there's a progression in the Nam Sankirtan. It goes from Gonanam, Jagadish, then it goes to Pranishvara. And then when you're serving Pranishvara, then as your ruchi for serving Pranishvara, it says that for the devotee, no longer is the Paramatma controlling his life. So the Paramatma is not living in his heart. Radha Govinda is living in his heart. His Ishtadev. Once in New York, the devotees asked Prabhupada, they said, is Krishna in the heart? And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna's in the heart. And then the devotee said, well, wherever Krishna is, then Radharani is also there, isn't it? Because Radharani is never separate from Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes, Radharani is also there. Well, Prabhupada, if Radha and Krishna are in our hearts, they're always in Vrindavan. So that means that Vrindavan is also in our hearts. And Prabhupada said, yes, now you've understood. So now the devotee, at the stage of Ruchi and Nam, when he has taste for the holy name, he's chanting Nam and he's seeing Rup. What Rup is he seeing? He's seeing the form of the Lord that he adores. His adorable and worshipable Lord is seen on the screen of the heart. Seen in the screen of the heart. So he doesn't see Chaturbhuj Narayan. Just like when Hanuman was asked to turn on the television. When Hanuman was asked, what cable TV show are you watching? He said, oh, you want to see? And he opened his cable. He opened his chest cavity, and in his heart, everyone saw what cable TV he had. It was Ram Leela, Doordarshan, right? It was Ram Leela. Like they had the Mahabharata and they have Ramayana. So Ramayana was playing on the cable in his heart. When the person saw, he said, oh, I don't see Chaturbhuj Narayan there. I see Sitaram. Because he was in the level of pure bhakti, dasya bhakti. And his paramatma disappeared. Just like when Ramchandra came to this world and Parasaram went to the Himalayas. He had no work here anymore. His work was done. He was killing all the Kshatriyas and he turned around and he saw a Kshatriya. Hey, who are you? I'm Ramchandra. Who are you? I'm Parasaram. I'm Parasaram. I've come to kill all the bogus Kshatriyas. You look like one too. How can I kill you? And then Ram laughed. He said, you fool. I'm the one that gave you your power. You're a Shakti of Aish. I gave you that Shakti. Now, Chello, you did your work. You cleaned up the place. Now I'm going to establish Dharma because you removed all the bogus Kshatriyas so I could come and establish the proper rule of Kshatriya Dharma and Varnashram Dharma, Sanatana Dharma. So then he withdrew all the power which he had invested in Parasaram and sent him to the Himalayas to do tapasya. And he took over. And in a similar way, for the devotee who advances in bhakti, then Parameshwara takes a hike, as they say in America. He leaves the place. He goes to Himalayas or wherever. He can go to so many places. And then Ishtadev takes over. Now when one is serving the Lord, that Ishtadev is ruling the heart, and as that ruchi and the taste for Nam increases more and more, then it brings one to the level of Asakti, and then to Bhava. And the level of Bhava, then all these ecstatic symptoms are there. But when we come to the level of Asakti, then that Ishtadev, who is the Pranishvara, we know that the Lord is my very Ishvara, and I'm worshipping the Lord in Vrindavan. And then that Ishvara, Pranishvara, becomes Nanda Nandan. Right? I.e. Nanda Tanushikankaram. And this is the level of Asakti. And then that develops deeper and deeper into Bhav. And then Bhav becomes Prem, and Prem has a feature of separation and meeting. First there's separation. So then the next way that the devotee calls on the Lord, he's, oh, Nanda Nandan, I'm feeling ecstasy in your association serving you. And then so many ecstatic symptoms are coming. Nayanam Galud Ashudharya. But now you're here with me and I'm experiencing union and experiencing your association. And then the Lord disappears. Because this is the play of the Lord with his devotee. Sometimes he appears, sometimes he disappears. And when he disappears, the devotee feels a heartbreak of separation. And that heartbreak of separation, and he cries out, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. Govinda Virahiname. So then we have Jagadish, we have Pranishvara, we have Nanda Nanda, and then we have Govinda. Yuga Yutanda Meshena, then Govinda Virahiname. So this name Govinda is cried out in separation. And this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in this mood. In the mood like the gopis when Krishna went to Mathura. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Puri. So when Krishna went away with a Kura on a chariot and he took Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, the gopis, they were feeling the impending separation. They had been with Krishna for 11 years and now he's being dragged out or driven out of Vrindavan on Kansa's chariot, being driven by a Kura. And then they're understanding, this is it. It's all over. He's leaving us. Not he's leaving us, but our very heart is leaving us. The very heart of our hearts is on this chariot. This chariot is not only a chariot, but this chariot is, our body is also a chariot. Manoratena. And this Krishna's taking this chariot and our body has also become that chariot. Our body is leaving us. Our heart is leaving us. Everything is leaving us. So when they realized the impending separation that was about to befell them, then they couldn't repress anymore their loving sentiments. So they cried out, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. So they cried out, Govinda. Because this is the name of Krishna. One cries out in separation. Govinda, Govinda, Govinda Virahiname. And then there's meeting with the Lord. And then when you meet the Lord, then you're at his discretion. He can crush you by his loving embrace. He can throw you away. He can turn his back on you. He can do anything. But then there's union with the Lord. And then he's your prananath. Mat prananathas tu seiva napraha. So then he's prananath. Ashlishiva paravatam panashtamam. So this word is there, prananath. And you're the Lord of my life heirs. You can vanquish me. You can enervate me. You can energize me or you can vanquish me. You can ruin me or enliven me. So these are some of the names that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses. And as bhakti progresses, as the stages of devotion, as we advance in the stages of devotion, we perceive the Lord in different ways. As super soul, Chaitu Guru, super soul, guiding us, hearing our prayers. And the devotee feels sometimes, I'm getting some message from the super soul. Prabhupada would often say that doubt, if we get some doubt, that is, or he says in one purport, he says, intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. Intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. In one purport, in second canto. So if we get some intelligent idea as a devotee of the proper choice or discrimination of what activity to engage in, that's a message from the super soul. Like sometimes you get a message on your cell phone, right? A little screen of your cell phone goes beep, beep, message. SMS. Something like that? SMS. So also in the screen of our mind, we get a message from the super soul. Turn right, turn left, do this, do that. So the devotee, this is his first meeting with Krishna, is the Chaitya Guru. Chaitya Guru comes outside and presents himself as Guru. Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. Then Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru, they teach the devotee how to see the Lord in the heart. By following the instructions of Guru, then one realizes the presence of the Chaitya Guru. So then we have a relationship, a sambandha, relationship with Chaitya Guru. He becomes our friend, and he helps us. Go here, go there, seek this, seek that. And then as we develop our bhajan, then Chaitya Guru becomes, Jagadish becomes Pranishvara. Pranishvara becomes Nandanandan. Nandanandan becomes Govinda. And Govinda becomes Prananath. This is what's being said. So we discussed this word Ishvara yesterday. And now, this last part of the verse, and we read one entry from the Bhajan Rahasyam where he quotes from the Bhagavatam about this concept of Janmani Janmani Ishvare. So today, Bhavatad Bhakti Rahaituki Toyi. Lord Chaitanya is telling, I only want unmotivated, pure devotional service unto your lotus feet. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his commentary on Shikshastakam, on this part of this verse, He says here, Gauranga is showing the mood of a devotee. And he's praying, O Lord, I don't pray to you for all these things. I'm not praying to you like for Dhanam and Janam. I'm not praying to you. I don't pray, Oh Lord Krishna, please give me wealth. Please give me wife or husband or some position or some followers. Make me a big man. Make me important. Give me some distinction or some role or position. I want to speak of liberation. Lord Chaitanya, I'm not praying. My only prayer is that birth after birth, I have ahoituki bhakti unto you, O my Prananath. Then the question can be asked, he's using this word ahoituki. What is ahoituki bhakti? Because this should be our prayer. Gauranga's prayer should be our prayer. That we have to come to this stage of realization and conviction by study, by service, by kripa of Nam and Guru and Vaishnavas, that this is it. I am perfectly situated as the eternal servant of the Lord, Jivera Krishna Das, Nitya Das. I am already situated in perfection. It is only a matter of deepening my realization and perception. I am serving Krishna now and forever. Nothing has to change. My Lord is there and I am there. Body may change, that's destined. The body that I'm living in, inhabiting, is not eternal. But the relationship is already established. It's forever. He is my Lord, He is my Master, and I am His servant. Boss. Nothing more. So, but there's a lot more. There's a lot more going on in our minds and hearts. Well, that's okay, but what about liberation? And what about Salokya? And what about back to Godhead? And so many things. So Lord Chaitanya is trying to tell us, listen, cool down. Eliminate all these things. Cut these things. So this word ahoituki bhakti means bhakti which is devoid of desires for material enjoyment. And the term that is used is kamana vasana rahit. Kamana vasana means desire for enjoyment. And rahit means living with or has to be finished. And then he says bhakti which is devoid of desires for material enjoyment. And ahoituki means which is fully transcendental in nature. And then he goes on, this is Bhaktivinoda's commentaries. He says, he actually lists here, there are seven characteristics of ahoituki bhakti. And this is the kind of bhakti that comes at the stage of ruchi in bhajan. There's ruchi, then there's asakti, and then there's bhava and prema. So our goal is prema, the loving service of the Lord. And we're in a stage of anartha nivritti, then after is nishta, then ruchi. So ruchi, we're aspiring. We want taste. That is the biggest complaint. Oh, I have no taste for bhakti. I lost my taste. I lost my enthusiasm. I was so enthusiastic when I first joined. I really relished chanting Hare Krishna, especially in kirtan. Now I don't even go to kirtans. I rather avoid them. If I hear there's a kirtan, I go the opposite way. And when you first join, you hear there's a kirtan, you run all the way down the street to the temple to join the kirtan. And you're the first to play the mridanga and kartals. Now if you hear there's a kirtan, you say, oh my God, there's a kirtan, let me out of here. So something went wrong. Something flipped upside down. So we lost our taste. And this is spoken of in Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the losing of taste and how to regain it, or how to recover taste. And he gives some prescriptions there, basically saying, associate with tasty devotees. Associate with devotees that have some taste, and it will come by reflection, and taste will come to you. It's contagious. So these are the seven characteristics of ahoituki bhakti, one which we mentioned. We have no desires for material enjoyment. And this hoituki bhakti, its nature is chinmoy sabhav ashray, which means that it's fully transcendental. It's chinmoy. It's made of chit shakti. It's Krishna himself. Third, this type of bhakti, it gives pleasure to Krishna. Krishna Ananda Rup. And this type of bhakti, Yahoitaki bhakti, is pure, shuddha. It's exclusive and one-pointed, kevala. Like sometimes you hear the term, kevala bhakti. Only everything directed towards Krishna. And it's unmixed, amishra. And it's free of all material attachment, akinchan. So, ahoitaki means no other purpose but to please Krishna. A good example of ahoitaki bhakti is in Vritrasura's Prayers of Pure Devotion in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, which we meant to read, but maybe we can read tomorrow. One of those verses we read the other day in the discussion of Ruchi and Nam Bhajan from this chapter 4 of Bhajan Rahasya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying here, O Lord of the universe, I only pray for spontaneous devotion to you without motive for any reward. I want a natural serving attitude. This is a very nice way of saying it. I want the attitude. Attitude means my nature. A service attitude. I mean, everything is attitude. Attitude means our intention, the actual feeling in our heart, or the way we think. We think service. We feel service. But basically, this is kind of contrary to our material nature. Our material nature is that we think enjoyment, and we feel enjoyment. And rather, we don't like to work. We like to relax. We like holiday or relaxing. But the nature of the devotee in the pure state of consciousness, he wants seva. And if we had the opportunity of serving sometimes next to one devotee that really meets the criterion of someone who had a genuine service attitude, and he's famous in ISKCON, his name was Jayananda Prabhu, or Jayananda Das. And he really had this attitude of service. He was always serving, and serving with a smile, as they say. Serving happily, not begrudgingly. Serving without being asked. No one had to ask him to do service. He saw the needful and he did it. And he acted above and beyond the call of duty. Sometimes in war times, a soldier is rewarded by his country. During the war, this soldier, he acted above and beyond the call of duty. His duty was on one level, but he went more than that. And he performed very heroic feats, very heroic deeds in the cause of the army. And because of that, he won the battle, or he helped us win the battle. So he gets the Purple Heart. He gets some recognition. So Jayananda Prabhu was certainly a devotee or disciple of Srila Prabhupada. It was endeavoring and working above and beyond the call of duty. He was the first one to get up every morning and the last one to take rest. And usually everybody else in the temple was competing. Everyone else was competing to be for who could be the last one up and who could be the first one to take rest. Every other devotee was thinking, I want to get up last and I want to take rest first. And this is the basic nature. But his nature was quite different. And no one was forcing him, no one was ordering him to do that. The time was set. Everyone rise at 3:30, so he rose at 2:30. Everyone take rest at 10, he took rest at 11:30. So this was his own choice. It wasn't the standard set by Prabhupada for the temple. So this is it's an attitude. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing in this verse. It's all about attitude shift. We have to shift our attitude, change our attitude. It's helpful to associate with someone that has a good attitude. Often in school, when you're going to school and you receive your report card from the teacher, they write on the card, they say, yes, you are very good in your studies. You're a very intelligent boy. You're completing your papers, but you have a very bad attitude. You have a bad attitude. In other words, you're not very user-friendly towards a teacher. You're smart, you do your studies, you get your marks, but your attitude is, well, I'd rather be somewhere else. So this is what's being said here, is that Lord Chaitanya is showing the attitude. He says, I want a natural serving attitude. So ahoitaki bhakti, it's another name for prema. Prema means I shall serve you. O my Lord, I shall serve you. And as a reward, you must give me more of a tendency to serve you, more energy and more hankering to serve you. This is an incredible transcendental way of thinking. Because we say that is the real meaning. Bhakti is for bhakti's sake. We do bhakti to do more bhakti. There's no other. We don't want to achieve anything from bhakti, but we want to purify or improve or enhance or increase the quality and quantity of our bhakti. That's the only thing we want change in. We want to make it better bhakti and more bhakti. But we're not doing bhakti to attain anything more than bhakti. So give me, this is the prayer, I shall serve you. And oh, okay, so you, this is the cause. You're doing this, so what effect do you want? You're serving me, what do you want? I want more service. I don't want anything more than that. Give me more of a tendency to serve you, more energy and more hankering to serve you. Bhakti is ahoituki, causeless. Krishna bhakti means to find enjoyment by self-giving. That's a very nice phrase. Usually we find our business is being takers, not givers. And that's called exploitation. And the whole material world is based on this and built upon this principle. The advertisers, they try to whip up or stir up this innate tendency of the conditioned soul. Exploit. They call it consumerism because it sounds a little less, sounds rather innocuous to say consumerism, but you say exploitism. You're the American exploiter. But they don't say, they say consumerism. This is all, it's called, what is this when they use one word, a soft word for a hard concept? Euphemism? Not euphemism. I'll give you an example. In the hospital, a new doctor, he's a gynecologist, and he's engaged in murdering babies. That's his basic activity. He kills 10 or 15 babies a day. So in the hospital, they don't say, Dr. Smith, go murder this baby in room 201. What they say is, Dr. Smith, you have a pregnancy termination in room number 101. What's that term when you're covering the real meaning of something by a different word? It's called, not euphemism, there's a term for that. That's called pregnancy determination. So it doesn't sound so bad. So instead of saying the American exploiter, you say, oh, he's a consumer. But actually in the material world, everyone is exploiting. Everyone is a taker, no one's a giver. So bhakti means to find, this is very nice. What is Krishna bhakti? What does it mean? To find enjoyment by self-giving. In other words, this is what the devotee thinks. Let others enjoy at my cost. This is the basis of the highest enjoyment. Let others enjoy at my cost. This is the basis of the highest enjoyment. In this case, the others is Krishna and his associates, or his parishads, or parishishta, his devotees, my guru, and my godbrothers. They're all the associates of the Lord and the servants of the Lord. Let them enjoy at my cost. But what does the materialist say? Let me enjoy at any cost. Isn't it? Let me enjoy at any cost. See, similar wording. Instead of saying, let others enjoy, let me enjoy. And instead, let others enjoy at my cost is let me enjoy at your cost. This is exploitation. But love means, oh, my lover, be happy. Enjoy. Are you happy? Are you enjoying? You feeling delight? Can I increase your satisfaction? What more can I do? This is real love. Of course, here, we can write poetry about it or sing some songs. But it's only an illusion. It's not a reality. But we're trying to enter the realm of reality. And reality means the pure love of God. So this is how we enter the reality, by changing our attitude. Everything begins with the mind. Action germinates in the mind. So the mind is the field of where action begins. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So change our attitude, change our actions. In Bhakti Tattva Vivek, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining what is this level, this ruchi, Because we say after Nishtha, then there's Ruchi. He's saying, what level is this? He says, at the stage of Ruchi, one has attained Shuddha Bhakti. Such a devotee is an Uttam Adhikari. In other words, he has a qualification, the highest qualification. This is the highest, this is a symptom of the highest, of having the highest qualification, where one has Ruchi, genuine Ruchi for Nam Bhajan. And because of his taste for the name and serving Krishna and his devotees, he's lost all taste for material things and the offerings of the material world. So this means he has the greatest eligibility to perform devotion. And for the greatest eligibility to perform the purest devotion or topmost devotion. So this Ruchi is the adhikari or the qualification to attain Krishna Prema. Well, we could stop there for a few minutes if anyone has any questions or comments on what we've said so far to maybe clarify things. Yes. You're asking what level? I didn't quite hear. What level is the general devotee at? I didn't. What level of devotion have most of the devotees attained? Well, I can only speak about myself, really, in accurate terms. And I can say that we haven't attained very much, but we can say, without a doubt, we're swimming in the ocean of anartha nivritti. Ourselves. Or maybe barely swimming. If I have my friend Balaram, Balaram is nearby me, then I have some hope that I won't drown. Because he's a good swimmer, so he can hold me up. But I don't have much power, it looks like, to swim very far. But we can't really, you know, as they say, if you point one finger at someone else, you're pointing three fingers at yourself. They say, you this, well, these three fingers are pointing at me. So I can't really judge the other devotees. I would like to think, we always think the best about everyone and give everyone the benefit of the doubt. The real viewpoint of a devotee is he thinks that everyone is better than me. Everyone is greater than me. Of course, this is also the vision of the Mahabhagavat. The Mahabhagavat thinks that everyone is serving Krishna better than me, and I'm not rendering any service. So we can't imitate such lofty vision or pure realization. But at least in our own way, there's a sense of when this humility comes in, when this Trinadapi Sunichena is the level of Nishtha, which precedes the level that we're discussing, which is Ruchi. So, These levels of devotion from Ado, Shara, Tata, Sarasanga, Bhajana, Kriya, Narta, Nivriti, Tata, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prem, they're kind of like this, the color spectrum. When you look at ultraviolet to on the other side, there's violet, and from red to purple. So there's all different bands of color. There's yellow, then there's yellow, green, and then it goes green, 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 then it changes color. So even at the level of anartha nivritti, there's some nishta. At the level of anartha nivritti, there's also some ruchi. And it's very primordial, very finite. It's not that you're in anartha nivritti and all of a sudden, okay, I'm at ruchi. But even at ruchi, there's some anartha nivritti that's going on. But it's less. And even there's descriptions in Madhurya Kadambini. What are the gradations? So when a devotee comes to the level of nishta, which is a very high level, but then he feels this great humility. This is the symptom where he feels, not that he's actually seeing every devotee, and he's seeing everyone, not only devotees, engaged in the service, but the level of nishtha, which we can say many devotees are on, level of nishtha, or at least we feel that way. He sees that everyone is serving Krishna, that what is my service? My service, everyone's serving better than me. So there are many devotees that are like this. They're in Anartha Nivritti, but they have one foot in the boat of Anartha Nivritti, and they have one foot in the boat of Nishta. Because they're not Kirtaniya Sadhari. They're not chanting the holy name all the time. But they're engaged in Krishna's service as much as possible. And although they're engaged with their senses, their mind sometimes is spaced out, so it's not always fixed on the holy name. But in that position of Nishta, they're feeling humility. And that humility, they appreciate others tremendously. The service rendered by others. So, in a class of Vaishnavas, we would like to feel that, we feel that everyone is serving in their own capacity. Of course, everyone can do better, including ourselves. But the natural humility that comes at the stage of Nishta, or approaching Nishta, creates an appreciation for all the devotees, big or small. And you feel that they're all big, because you realize your own smallness. At the level of Nishta, you actually begin to realize how small you are yourself. And then when you realize your own finitude, you can realize the infinitude of others, or how much they're greater, bigger than you. So, mostly we can say devotees are kind of spread across Anartha Nivritti and Nishta. And some are at Ruchi and at all different levels. But you say, you're saying it's a general question about the general class of devotees. I can't say that, but I can say this, that because you see, devotees are steadily serving. They're taking their 6 hours rest, they're working very hard, they're trying their best. So what is that? Well, they have Anarthas, no doubt. But there's a steadiness there, there's a Nishta there, and a genuinely sincere devotee, he'll say, I don't have any taste for the holy name, but I'm chanting. I don't have so much taste for sitting down hearing Harikatha, it makes me sleepy. When I hear the Bhagavatam, I feel asleep. But I'm doing it. I can say I have a taste for following my guru, or carrying out his order. So there's some Nishta, there's some Anartha Nivritti there, there's some Nishta there, and a touch of Ruchi. But the real thing that you can say that one of the symptoms that Nishta is there is this appreciation for others and a feeling of humility. This is kind of, and of course that gets deeper and deeper. And as the humility gets deeper and deeper, attracts the attention of Nam Prabhu. And Nam Prabhu sees the increase in humility and he says, I want to live with you. I like you. I like humble people. I like those that are humble before devotees. Many people can be materially humble, but not humble amongst devotees. So then you become more steady in the holy name. So, Bhakti, anything else? Yes.
I would
like to hear a little bit more, to
have a deeper understanding,
how japa is seva. How japa is seva.
What does it mean, japa is seva?
Because seva means that which gives pleasure to Krishna. And we say prem seva. Our goal is prem seva. We don't just say prem, because prem is like an entity or it has its characteristics. Sundara Nanda Visheshatma, Sri Krishna Karshani. These are two of the characteristics of prema. But prema is Surup Shakti. Surup Shakti is moving. It's always moving. It's active. Prema is very active. So prem, although it has its lakshana or characteristics, it also has its actions, its kriya. And the actions of prem, or the prem has its movement, so that takes the shape of seva. So someone who's in love of God, he engages in so many actions to express his love. So one way we express our love for Krishna, which he relishes to hear his name. This is a natural instinct of even human beings. If you're passing someone, and they're saying, oh, you know, there's this devotee Balaram, he's from Russia, and then immediately, oh, hey, that's me. You know, acha? I'm going to hide over here so they don't see me, but they're talking about me. We naturally, our ears and heart become attracted if someone is talking about us, especially if they're talking badly about us. It's more attractive. Because good stuff, that we know that we're so great. We already know that we're very great and good. And that we don't need anyone to tell us that, because we tell ourselves that every day. But if someone is cutting us down and cutting us to pieces, that we really want to hear about. Because we never tell ourselves that. So it's very attractive. So this nature, Krishna has this nature also. And he also does the same thing. He pretends in some of his leelas, it's called Supta Leela, where he pretends to sleep. He's enjoying with the gopis, and then he says, "Oh, I'm very tired, I want to sleep now." So he sleeps, and he takes his chatter and puts it over his head so the flies don't land on his nose, and, you know, because it's Vrindavan, it's the same thing. So he covers his head with his chatter, and he's lying on a flower bed, and he goes, and so he pretends to sleep by snoring. Then all the gopis, they come in and say, "Oh, what is Shyam doing? Oh, I think he's sleeping. Oh, really? Oh, do you know, it was really, really, really clever the way we stole his flute when he was swinging on that julan, and he was so much enraptured by Radharani's beauty. He was just playing with her hair and not even paying attention to the swing, and then his flute slipped out, and then Lita Sakhi, she picked it up, then she stashed it and gave it to Vrindadevi, and he's such a fool. He becomes so foolish in the presence of Radharani, he doesn't even notice he drops his beloved flute. And so the gopis are talking like this all about Krishna. And Krishna, although he's making the sound, he's listening, he's just listening. Oh, they're talking about me. And he's relishing like anything. They're saying so many things because the gopis, they think that Krishna's completely asleep. So they feel rather relaxed and very candid about what they can say about Krishna that they would never say in front of him if he is awake. And so then, one Sakhi, she has this feeling. She says, "I think this rascal is pretending to sleep. I think this rascal, this blue rascal, is actually pretending to sleep." And so Krishna has this chatter over him, and he's all ears listening to them speak about him. And then Lita Sakhi, she very quickly, she takes the chatter and she pulls up, "Hey, you rascal, you're pretending to sleep." And he starts laughing, and they all start laughing. So this is describing Govinda Lilamrita, that how Krishna pretends to sleep. So he can relish the Harikatha or the Prem Seva of these gopis describing his Rup Gun and Leela. So when we're chanting his name, this is also his Nam, Rup Gun and Leela. And this is also Prem Seva. And this is also very pleasing to Krishna. And the more Prem there is in the name, the more Seva there is in the chanting. That's a nice lingo, nice phrase. The more Prem there is in the name, the more Seva there is in the chanting. That's a good one. All thanks to the Super Soul, because it's not from me. So the idea is that as our chanting becomes more and more pure, we're serving Krishna with our Nama Parad, but it's just like being a music teacher. When you're a music teacher and you have new students and you're teaching them harmonium, and you're a music teacher, you're a professional musician, but you make some money teaching music to some children. So they're playing the harmonium, and you're listening to it, and you say, "Well, okay, you know," and you're just being tolerant. You're saying, "Yes, it's very good, very good." And you go, "Sa re ga ma," and he goes, and it's not very sweet, it's not very nice. So you tolerate it and you accept it because he's trying. He's trying to learn the harmonium, and you're his teacher, and that's what you want. You want to convey this knowledge to him and teach him this harmonium. And he's trying sincerely, but he's not very good, not very adept at it. Then after several months or several years, he says, "Listen, teacher." Then he plays Malara Rag, and he plays Dhanashri Rag, and he starts singing. And then you close your eyes and you say, "Oh, yes, my student is playing so nicely. Shabash, shabash. Very good, very good. Bhariya, bhariya." So Krishna's the same way. He said, "Oh, here's Krishnadas. He's going to chant his japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna." Ooh. This is not very nice, but it's something nice. This is seva, but not exactly prem seva, but it's going in the right direction. So this chanting is music to my ears, Krishna would say. It pleases the Lord. Seva means that which gives pleasure to the Lord. And no one can please the Lord more than Srimati Radharani. And she's also chanting Nam Sankirtan. So we can pray to Srimati Radharani, "Oh Srimati Radhika, oh Priyaji, please bless me that my chanting becomes pure. Please bless me that my chanting becomes sweet. Please bless me that my chanting of Nam becomes acceptable to your Priyatam." Anything else? Usually we chant both ways. we chant loudly, we're chanting Hare Krishna loudly with our mouth and tongue and our beads, and our mind is chanting loudly, no, don't chant Hare Krishna, don't chant Hare Krishna. So our mind is also chanting loudly while we're chanting loudly. But either way, it's purifying the Lord. It's seva, manasik japa, which you mentioned, chanting in the mind, or vachik, or uchasik, japa, chanting, whispering or loudly. All three forms are there, and they're all pleasing, and that chanting is most pleasing, which is sanctioned by Guru, because Guru knows the art. Guru knows the art, how to please Krishna. So, as the gopis chant, sometimes the gopis chant very loudly when they were on the banks of Manasi Ganga and they were waiting for Krishna to come, and he didn't come there. They were supposed to meet him, and then they started chanting at the top of their lungs, as they say. Very, very loudly they were chanting, Hari Dev, Hari Dev, Hari Dev. Very loudly, because they didn't know where he was and they were about to leave their bodies. They couldn't bear another minute. They were chanting very loudly. But when they're dancing in the rasa dance, and they're dancing with Krishna in the rasa dance, and they're dancing cheek to cheek, as they say, they have these songs, dancing kapola sparsha kapola, one cheek touching the other cheek, then the gopis are also chanting, oh my Priyatam, I love you more than anything. Please, I'm the only one dancing with you, and you're the only one dancing with me. Don't dance with anyone else, stay here forever. Let the night of Brahma, let the night extend for a million years. So they're also chanting, but it's very, very soft. Because they don't want the gopi next to them to hear. Because they think that Krishna is alone with them, and Yogamaya has arranged that they see that there's a gopi next to them, and she's dancing around in the circle. And they're dancing, following her, but they're with Krishna, alone. So then they're also chanting in Krishna's ear. But it's called sweet nothings. Well, it's something like this. When a man whispers in the ear of his beloved, or vice versa, those are called sweet nothings, which is interesting, because it's very sweet, but it means nothing. It's very sweet, but it means nothing. So in English, I don't know another language, we call it sweet nothings. Is it right? Sweet nothings? Because, I mean, it's been a while, you know. I haven't heard any sweet nothings for a long time. I don't want to hear any more either. So there's different types of chanting which please the Lord. And according to our position, and according to how our guru wants us to chant, then we should follow his indication and chant accordingly. If he says chant loudly, we chant loudly. If he says chant manasik, we chant manasik. It's like this. All are good. All are seva. All are perfect. All are very pleasing to the Lord. You have to see. Because if you think the Lord is very far away, if you can't perceive the Lord and you think he's very far away, and if someone is very far away and you want to get their attention, then what do you do? Hey! Right? You chant loudly. So for most of us, the Lord is very far away. So we should chant loudly to catch his attention. But if you realize, wait a minute, you're not very far away. You're in my heart. You're my pranath. I perceive you. I've received you. I've received you into my heart, and you've received me into yours. And we're very close. You're near and dear to me, and I'm near and dear to you. There's no need to chant, hey, Hare Krishna. All right. I'm right here. Don't shout. I'm right here. And then you can whisper sweet nothings in his ear. And then you can chant in uchasik, or whispering japa, or manasik japa. Because he's in your mind. So when you realize that Krishna's in your mind, then you chant with your mind. That's easy. If you perceive, yeah, you're Krishna, you're sleeping. Says Govinda Vishram. For the pure devotee, the Lord is sleeping in their hearts. Govinda Vishram. That bhajan is there by Narottam Das. Isn't it? There's one bhajan. Govinda Vishram. So if someone is sleeping, you don't chant very loudly, because you may wake them up. So Govinda Vishram is Govinda sleeping in our hearts, and we see that he's resting there. Hare Krishna. You chant very softly. Like the baby, shh, the baby. Baby's sleeping. Shh, shh, be quiet. Shh, okay. It's like this. It's told that Haridas Thakur, who is the exemplar of the holy name, he is the teacher of the holy name, that he would chant in three modes, in modal way. He would chant loudly for 64 rounds and softly for 64 rounds and manasik for 64 rounds. So if the guru hasn't given any specific instruction in regards to this, then it's not wrong if the devotee can sample different types of japa. It's a nice experience to chant manasik japa, because it requires a lot of attention. You can't space out if you're chanting, because usually we're chanting and our minds are spacing out. But as soon as you wrap your mind around the holy name, then what can space out? There's nothing left to space out. Because the mind is the spaceman. But if you engage the spaceman in chanting, then you can't space out. So the senses are quiet. The senses only move on the dictations of the mind. So if you're chanting in the mind, then the tongue is quiet, lips are quiet, right? Ears are quiet, and the mind is wrapped around the sound vibration, internal sound vibration. It's called anahata shabda. Anahata shabda means the sound in the heart. So you chant from within the heart, and you hear the sound within the chambers of your heart. Hare Krishna. Anything more? So the time is over. So tomorrow we can discuss more Bhajan Rahasyam. Tonight is a bathing. Anyone is bathing. Tonight and tomorrow are both the nights to bathe. We're having some small class here from 10 o'clock, maybe 9:30, until 11:30 or so. And then we'll discuss something about Radhakund and Radharani and I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but we'll try to discuss something. So if anyone wants to spend a few minutes over here, they're certainly welcome. But that won't be before 9:30, because we have other work or seva until that time.